Splicecast.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
That's Dan Hurst, one of the top voice talents I work with. This is Teresa Lim.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
This is me, same sentence. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. And now Sharon Chan, one of the most recognizable voice talents in Singapore.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
The sentence you keep hearing is a pangram, a single sentence that includes all 26 letters of the alphabet. Did you notice the change in accent each time? They were an American accent, an Australian accent, my British accent, and finally a Singaporean accent. Here's the Singapore accent again.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Singapore is a multi-ethnic and multicultural melting pot, 1.3 degrees north of the equator, and a population of 6.5 million. There are 3.5 million Singapore citizens, almost all bilingual, and one of those two languages will be English. The country is only 50 kilometers wide from east to west, and you might think that the local accent for English is easy to define. But we're about to go down the linguistic rabbit hole known as Singlish.
The quick brown fox
jumps over the lazy dog.
The quick brown fox
jumps over the lazy dog.
To truly understand Singlish, I had to get an expert's opinion. Tong Yingying is an associate professor of linguistics and multilingual studies at Nanyang Technological University. She is the first Singaporean to receive the prestigious Full Global Fellowship from Princeton University and has studied Singapore English extensively, analysing what makes up the Singapore accent.
We have defined it in various ways. One, of course, is just to look at the words that people use uniquely in the Singaporean context. That's not terribly interesting because that's really just lexical analysis. Two other levels which I think make up the melody of how we sound. And that's in terms of pronunciation, so the specific sounds that we produce, and the prosody, which includes the melody, the intonation, the way we put stress on words, and also the rhythm. And these put together makes up the Singaporean accent.
I told you she was a bona fide expert.
Singapore English has developed for the last 50 years in a really fairly steady fashion, and it's gotten to a point that it has reached a level of maturity that people are now beginning to sound almost alike. There's a general level of homogeneity across ethnic groups. You can't really tell which ethnic group they are from quite so easily in the younger population as compared to, say, our grandparents' generation, where someone will open his or her mouth and you can say, ah, that is a Chinese Singaporean or a Malay Singaporean. There are still certain characteristics of these ethnic differences, but I think more and more so we're moving towards a pan-Singaporean accent. But there are, of course, differences between the different groups, not ethnic, but perhaps the different kinds of schools that you go to, your different backgrounds, the type of languages that you already speak. They will influence the way you sound as well, but I think this is the right time to pin down the general characteristics of how Singaporeans sound. The Singapore government has recently put in an initiative to collect Singapore's voices, and it's called the National Speech Corpus, which consists of thousands of hours of Singaporeans just of every single sector you can think of speaking to each other. And the reason for this is for tech industries to come up with AI that can actually codify and understand Singaporean accent. A lot of this involves actually going down to the specifics and understanding what is it about the sounds that Singaporeans make that make us sound the way we sound.
If humans could land men on the moon with the computing power that we've since managed to stuff into mobile phones, it's safe to assume that it's only a matter of time before this project is successful. The one thing that we'll have to contend with, though, is that accents, like languages, are constantly evolving. Let's listen one more time to the pangram.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
That's Lim Yu Bing, an actor with 3 decades of experience in the industry. He started his craft in the US, and his resume includes work in theatre, television, and film. He helped him break down the accent into several examples.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog, and even more Singaporean. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
And it's more specifically a Chinese Singaporean. Let me give you a slightly different version.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
That's a slightly more Malay Indian Singaporean, but it's still very Singaporean.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
So that's still a little bit more Indian Singaporean without going into Indian. It's just more the way the English goes.
Yu Bing will now do the pangram in the Pan-Asian accent that Associate Professor Tong mentioned.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
According to Wikipedia, a native speaker is someone who learned to speak the language as part of their childhood development. Based on that definition, you might imagine that nativeness is clear-cut. But in Singapore, it's more complicated. If you talk to Singapore's Generation Z, the generation after millennials, with birth years from the mid-90s to the early 2000s, most will tell you they've grown up with English as a primary language. Based on that, can Singaporeans claim English as their native tongue?
When do you make a claim that you own this language? Can anyone even own this language at all? And with English, it's a really, really strange situation because all over the world, everyone's speaking English, but no one dares come out and say, hey, I'm a native speaker of English, except for the British, the Americans, the Australians, and people in countries that have claimed to originally speak English. Singapore is a weird situation in the sense that there is nothing about Singapore that allows us to claim that nativeness, except for the fact that in terms of use and in terms of the way the policies have shaped us, we have no choice but have to use it. So whether we like it or not, it was a language that has been put on us and that we have internalized it in such a way that it has become native to us. But yet no one dares still claim I'm a native speaker.
Picture a map of East Asia in your mind. I'm talking about every country south or east of China. That means Japan, the two Koreas, Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia, Myanmar, Malaysia, Indonesia, Brunei, the Philippines, and Singapore. Ponder which countries speak English natively, and that leaves you with Singapore.
In the academic world, we look at Singapore and English spoken in Singapore in two different ways. One is the more standard educated variety, which we call Singapore English. It's pretty much English spoken with a Singaporean accent. And the other, which we will not talk about, maybe, is Singlish. And that is not English at all. That's basically a contact language with the various other local languages mixed together with English.
For Singlish, its English is blended with Malay, Tamil, and various Chinese dialects. It gets funky because the grammar is then spliced four ways.
Walao eh. Yeah, so I took the train just now. And then what happened was, this guy came up to me and then all of a sudden want me to do a survey. Wah, sian. I did a survey. Then he just talk forever until I missed my stop lah. So I missed my stop. Of course, I angry. I tell him to go away. I'm going to go and change to Circle Line or something like that. So I came all the way here lor. So I'm like 40 minutes late.
Singlish is not English. I'm a strong champion of Singlish. What I have very strong objection to is that people keep saying, hey, you know, Singlish is at the lowest end of the spectrum of the standard English that we're talking about. But why do you put them even on the same scale? It should be a completely different box altogether because they don't belong together. Because this is not bad English, it's not broken English, it's just Singlish.
When expats move to Singapore and put effort into blending with the local community, they often indiscriminately add la at the end of sentences. It's such a common practice that tourist shops offer t-shirts that highlight la as an add-on that imbues local flavor in just three letters. But it's more nuanced, because in practice, there's variations of la, because the option to use different tones and inflections then change the meaning.
Think about this as grammar, right? That the la itself, it's got different tones attached to the la. Every single tone put in a different utterance gives you a different meaning. So you need to learn all these because someone needs to write a grammar book on La and say, well, look, we have 10 different variants of La's, and you have La with a low tone, La with a high tone, La with a falling tone, La with a rising tone, and you can attach them in these various fashions, and this will give you meaning X, Y, Z. And people don't think about it this way because they think, well, you know, La is La, people just drop their La's everywhere, that's how Singaporeans speak.
Then he just talk forever until I miss my stop lah.
But there's a grammar behind this. People who use them without understanding the grammar tend to use them wrongly.
The impact of the Singapore hybrid is more pronounced locally as English is so widely spoken here. There are a few books which have attempted to explain Singlish, mostly with a humorous tone. I asked Professor Tong about one of these, the Coxford Dictionary, which is a play on words using the Singlish term talk cock, which means idle banter, a kind of gibberish.
It's a very good effort in trying to put many of these Singlish terms into print of some form. It's actually a really, really difficult task because someone actually needs to go in and try to pin down the meanings. Many of these meanings are not transparent to people. And it's not just the Coxford Dictionary. Lots of other people online are doing pretty much the same thing. You have another site called the Singapore Lang, whatever. Yeah, and they were pretty much doing the same stuff as well. So I see this as an increasing effort of people trying to make sense of Singlish.
Remember the map of Asia when I asked you to think about which countries spoke English natively? The Filipino accent, lovely and melodious in its own right, is easily identified as being from the Philippines. The Singaporean accent, on the other hand, with its mix of influences, can cross borders, and Pan-Asian ad campaigns no longer rely on UK or US voices. The Singapore accent became the new voice of Asia, crisp and easily understood by Asian business leaders who traveled the world. They were drawn to an accent that had Asian flavor, enhancing its Anglo roots.
When you say Singapore is the only place in Asia where English is native, it's really refreshing because most people don't go that way. And I absolutely agree with you. It is absolutely true that it is native, just like I would think English is also native in India because of the colonial heritage and the fact that it has been and has always been one of the official languages next to Hindi. In Singapore's case, English has been used a lot more than in India. I think people are moving away from ethnicity and moving towards national identity. So people start talking about being Singaporean first rather than being Chinese first or Malay first. I think as a whole, as a nation, there is this detachment and moving towards this pan-Singaporean identity, which is great. And for that to happen, we need to be able to then accept the fact that English is in fact native.
During the show, you've heard Singapore voice actors reading the Pangram. I'm going to end with those same voices reciting the National Pledge.
We, the citizens of Singapore,
pledge ourselves
as one united people,
regardless of race,
language
or religion,
to build a
democratic society
based on justice
and equality,
so as to achieve
happiness,
prosperity
and progress
for our nation.
In this episode, you've heard some of the best voice actors in Singapore. They are Benjamin Chow,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Chan Hui Yu,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Daphne Lim,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Dwayne Tan,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Elliot Danker,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Hagen Valerio,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Jean Danker,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Joe Augustine,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Lim Yu Bing,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Lyra Bynes Stewart,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Maddie Barber,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Margaret Mary Lim,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Mr. Young,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Naomi Yo,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Leslie Pile,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Ramesh Panika,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Sharon Chen,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
Susan Ng,
the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
William Xavier,
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
And Yasmin Ching.
The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
You've been listening to Singlish. Here is Splice Studios, where every episode of the Hear Hear Singapore podcast is mixed. Postcode 169208. Check out this episode's show notes for more information or visit our website, hearhear.show. Please subscribe, and I'll catch you on next episode.